Let me say a few words about, I know we're not ready to start the shiur yet, but at least in terms of what I have here on the sheet for you, so you'll have a little bit of background. Hopefully a couple of the chevra will join us soon. We began Hilchos Talmud Torah, just to refresh your memory, we spoke at great length about why the Rambam chose this name of Talmud Torah as opposed to Limud Torah. We spoke about the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah has seven chapters. If you take a look, the last chapter, Perek Zion, is dedicated to the laws of Nidui. And I think we're going to probably skip that chapter. The first six chapters are dedicated to the laws of Talmud Torah per se, but they are subdivided into two categories. The first five chapters are dedicated to Let's divide it this way: four chapters and then two chapters, leaving out the seventh chapter. So what you have here in the first four chapters are the real nitty-gritty halachas of Talmud Torah. The fifth chapter is dedicated to the mitzvah of Kvod Rabbah. If you take a look at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam establishes Yesh Becholom Shtei Mitzvos Aseh. In addition to the mitzvah of studying Torah, which is the first mitzvah, and the Rambam dedicates four chapters to that mitzvah, there's a mitzvah Lechabed Melamdeha V'yodeha. And that's a mitzvah Adarta Pnei Zake Mishakana Chochma. And that expressed itself in kovet to both melamdim, who teach Torah, and those who know Torah, even if they're not melamdim. And we had long discussion about noshim v'avodim p'turim mitalmud Torah. According to the girs of the Kisvei Yad, ktanim is completely omitted. The classical publications of the Rambam, as they were printed by various editors over the course of time, have added the word ktanim to the Rambam. And we're going to study tonight the Ptur of Nashim. We want to focus our attention on women and figure out what their status is vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Katan, as we said, is left out of the Rambam in terms of Ptur, but the Rambam points out that Aviv Chayev Lelamdo, the father is Chayev to teach his son Torah. Now, one question that I want you to keep in mind as we go through this halacha is the relationship between Nashim and Avodim. And that is that both are categorized together, not just here in the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, but many places throughout the Rambam. And the reason for that is, and we've spoken about in the past, is that the din of an Eved is the same as the din of an Ishav with regard to most mitzvahs because of the Hekesh, I should call it the Gzer Shav of law.
Do we assume that an Eved will eventually go free, or do we assume that there will be an Eved forever?
Well, there's a mitzvah of Li'olam Bahem Ta'avodu. And if you bought the Eved, then he'll go back, revert back to his original owner at Yovel time. But if you didn't buy him, let's say you inherited him, then theoretically he will remain in your possession forever. The halach of Sheva Shonim, or Shem V'ayin, that only applies to an Eved Ivri.
If he is set free, then he becomes a full-fledged.
Correct. And there's machlokes rishonim whether he needs gerus, meaning another gerus. There was original gerus l'shem avdus, and some rishonim maintain, and I think that's the generally accepted view halacha, that the eved needs a second gerus in order to complete his gerus. Question is exactly whether or not that's, you know, the laws of gerus apply, or it's just a hatafas damris. You have to know what that's all about. All right. So let's get started, and you'll see on this page that we begin with a Gemara Masechta Megillah. The Gemara Daf Chav Gimel says, Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Olim Leminyan Shiva Afilu Isha. This Braisa, which is quoted towards the end of Masechta Megillah, has become over the last couple of decades a very controversial issue, because the Braisa actually paskins that a woman is considered one of the Olim for the Shiva Kruim of, let's say, Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah. Certainly that would apply to the five Kruim of Yontif or six Kruim of Yom Kippur. There's no difference between them. Lamaisa, the poskim evolve a sheet of what's called Kvod Hatzibur, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, in which case a woman should not be called up as one of the Olim, but that's something that evolved, let's call it post this price. Okay then? So in the case of a woman, Olim called Shiva, it would seem to be that she participates in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, when you say that a woman participates in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? Where would you classify it? What's the yisod of Kriyas HaTorah? Any answers to that question?
I don't know what the point is.
No, what I'm asking is...
I don't know what the reason we do it.
Well, no, I'm asking where would you... There are 613 mitzvahs.
What if it has to fit into one of those that are fitted into Talmud Torah?
Correct. Again, it has an additional dimension of being... I'm saying it has an additional dimension of being tzibur, of introducing the community. So what you gain by this form of Talmud Torah is that the entire community is learning Torah together, but certainly there's no other way of defining the nature of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur other than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that becomes very odd, because you would have thought that if you're categorizing which categories of individuals can be called up to the Torah for Kriyas HaTorah and share in this mitzvah of, in this case, a public Kriyas HaTorah, public Talmud Torah, but Talmud Torah nevertheless, which category of individuals would you want to include?
Only the ones chayiv.
Exactly. The only ones who are chayiv in Talmud Torah. Now we know that women are exempt from Talmud Torah. The Rambam's opening line, the Gemara in Kedushin derives this from Benosechem Velo. I mean, so Benechem Velo Benosechem, and yet she's Ola Lamidin Shiva. Now Tosis in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, Dibra Maskel Ha adds another dimension to this brisa, and he says that the women make the bracha when they get called up to the Torah. Now, what does that mean? If the mitzvah of Talmud Torah here, and this communal mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, is incumbent upon the tzibur, then presumably the bracha should be incumbent upon the tzibur as well. Does everybody hear that?
Right, so everyone's yotzei with the one.
Exactly. Whoever recites the bracha is going to be reciting the bracha on behalf of every member of the tzibur. And in brachos, we have a very basic principle of kol ha-mechuyiv b'davar motzi acherim yidei chovasa. You know, to the extent to which we share a common chiyuv, then I can be motzi you in a bracha, you can be motzi me in a bracha. But if the person who's reciting the bracha has no chiyuv, then they can't recite a bracha on behalf of someone who's chayiv. A mechuyiv b'davar is motzi and ain't a mechuyiv b'davar. That's based on a sugi of arvus. But if it's ain't a mechuyiv b'davar, certainly can't make a bracha on behalf of mechuyiv b'davar. That's why you'll never find in halach that a katan could recite a bracha on behalf of a gadol. If the gadol is a tol amaretz, the katan may feed him, spoon feed him the bracha, but ultimately the gadol will have to recite the bracha himself. So then, when you put this all into the churning, you know, into the cholent, what question do you come out with? A woman
is a chayiv in Talmud Torah.
And if the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah presumably is Talmud Torah, just that it adds a communal dimension to it, then why would a woman be Ola L'minyan Shiva? And more than that, why would she make the bracha? Now there is one possible technical answer. In the old days, I don't know if you know this, only the first Ola and the last Ola would make a bracha. The first Ola would make the bracha l'fanela, and the last bracha would make a bracha l'achareah.
She's in the middle, dear.
Maybe she got a bracha and aliyah in the middle, so she didn't make any brachas. But that doesn't seem to be the impression you get from Tosas. Tosas says, af mevart mevareches kisha ola l'torah, which means that she made the bracha, either because they had already adopted the minhag of every ola makes the bracha, or because she got either the first aliyah or the last aliyah.
Maybe according to Joseph, if she was one of the middle ones, then it's not really a requirement for her to say the bracha.
So again, it's not required for you or for me.
Right.
So that would be fine, but Tosas is saying, motzios, that she makes the bracha on behalf of the tzibur, he's implying that she got either the first Leah, the last Leah, or after the minig evolved, that every single Ola makes a bracha, which means we all have to hear the bracha. So take a look at the Turi Evan. Now, I want to say a few words about the Turi Evan, just that you know who he was, because he's not that famous for his Sefer Turi Evan. He's a little bit more famous for a different work, and that is the... Anybody know which other work he authored? The Shagas Aryeh.
I was thinking, it's like somewhere in the Kitzel Shagas Aryeh.
It was in that same generation. Right. And he authored on Moadim a sefer called the Turi Evan. It's an absolute must if you're learning Moadim. You have to... Some people have Gemara Megillah in front of them with the Turi Evan on the side. You know, eventually they'll probably publish the Turi Evan on the daf or something, you know, with all that's going on. So he asks the following question. Kasha eich isha mevareches motzir b'brachasel es hakruim ha'isha p'tur mitalmid Torah v'chol she'ne mechuyim b'dover ene motzir akher b'dei chovasam. So on both sides, we're on the right page over here because we could have anticipated on our own the question of the Turi Evan. Let's add another question. This the Turi Evan doesn't ask. The halacha of Tosfos that a woman recites the bracha when she's ola l'Torah is very difficult according to the, I call it the Rambam / Shulchan Aruch. There's Shulchan Aruch. Paskins like the Rambam. That a woman, when she opts for a mitzvah voluntarily, she does not make a bracha.
Obviously, they would probably say that she doesn't.
But it's interesting because the Mechaber himself, Paskins, in Arachayim Sima Mem Zayin, if you're Dalid, you'll see it on the page, Noshim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. And what the Mechaber is referring to is the daily mitzvah, which the Gemara derives in brachas from Kishem Hashem Eka, Havgol Elkeinu L'Chiv of Birchas HaTorah, is not only incumbent upon the men, not just the Zacharim who are chayim in the midst of Talmud Torah make that bracha, but even the women. Now, if the Archaim is willing to say that any mitzvah which a woman is not obligated in, she can voluntarily accept upon herself to implement that mitzvah, and she can make a bracha thereof, then fine. But if you take a look in Siman Tov, Kuf, Pei, Tes, Sivvav, the Mechaber himself says that women do not make a bracha on any mitzvah that they are exempt from. Asher Kidshonu B'mitzosav implies that we are obligated in this mitzvah. If a woman makes that bracha, it's really Mechzeh Kishikra, she's not obligated. So it's bad enough that we have to understand Rabbeinu Tam and the Ashkenazim who follow on Rabbeinu Tam that women make a bracha on an optional voluntary mitzvah. That's challenging unto itself. But the Mechaber on the one hand says in Tav Kuf Pei Tes that women did not make a bracha on a mitzvah that they're exempt from, because after all, how could they make such a bracha? But on the other hand, on a daily basis, Noshim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. So we have now two questions to answer. The first question is that of the Turi Evan. Women are getting an aliyah and they're reciting a bracha and they're being motzi the tzibur. How could that be? Einam achuyim b'davar, einam motzi acher m'deich avasa. And the second question is, how could they daily recite Birchas HaTorah according to the Mechaber, who says that that women, and this is the Sephardic minhag for all women, Sephardic women today, they do not make a bracha. A Sephardi who goes into the sukkah will not allow his wife to make a bracha on the sukkah. Why not? She's sitting in the sukkah. If she was an Ashkenaziyah, she would make a bracha because of Rabbeinu Tam, but as far as the I will not make, you know this all. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Am I? No, you're looking at me in a blank face.
Sephardim do make a bracha. Sephardi women do make a bracha in the morning.
Correct. The question is why. See, if we only had the first question, Rabosai, I would be tempted to say that maybe Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a little bit different than the mitzvah Talmud Torah. For example, does anybody know who and at what time initially the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur was instituted? Do you know how far back in Jewish history it goes? Way before Ezra.
Yeshua.
Way before Yeshua. Correct. Shloshi Yom was when? 3 days after what? What great event in Jewish history? Way before Har Sinai. Not way before, but 7 weeks before. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because they went out of Mitzrayim and for 3 days they didn't hear a word of Torah. And the Gemara Bava Kama Pei Beis Darshan's the Pasuk Holchu Gimel Yomim V'lo Bracha V'lo Torah, excuse me, because by Yitzame L'mayim Eimayim El Torah, they were so spiritually sparched, you know, and they were dry, they were just exhausted because they didn't have any Torah. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Nevi'im and the Chachamim of his generation, they instituted that there shouldn't be 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. You could say that that mitzvah is not a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Maybe Kriyas HaTorah comes under a chesed kind of operation. Because if someone is nil'u, the Gemara uses that term, nil'u, nun, lamed, aleph, vav, which means they were exhausted. They were just spiritually parched, dry. I don't know if you gentlemen ever had that experience.
Or exhausted.
What?
Physically.
We're speaking a lot, I don't hear you.
I said we're exhausted a lot.
But I don't know if you ever had the experience where you went a number of days without yeshiva. Let's say it was vacation. What?
I've never gone 3 days without learning. Ever.
Okay, but let's say you were on vacation. Imagine you went...
Have you ever wanted to go back to yeshiva?
In Bein Hazmanim.
In
Bein Hazmanim. And then, you know, all of a sudden you feel like, you know, you're missing the Torah. It's like your soul is crying out of thirst for Torah. There is such a phenomenon. And it's really a Jewish phenomenon. It's not limited to the esoteric few who are great scholars. Every Jew feels the need for Torah. And it could be that women are included in that. I don't know. You don't have to have a chiyuv and a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in order to feel that you need to hear Torah. You need spiritual sustenance.
How often was it do women have to hear Kriyas HaTorah?
The Magen Avraham says yes.
But the Sfaradim?
I would even ask about the Ashkenazim. I don't think that this Magen Avraham was accepted. I only point out to you the Magen Avraham because personally, again, this is not part of the Chabura today, but if you'd ask me, I would encourage the women to hear Kriyas HaTorah. But I don't know if the women have to go crazy, you know.
3 times a week?
No, once a week, I would say. The Magen Avraham, I believe, is talking about Kriyas HaTorah once a week. I have to double check. Remind me. So I don't know if a woman who's raising children should drop everything, you know, in order to run to your Kriyas HaTorah. But there is such a sheet, and I wanted you to know that there's such a sheet, because it might open up a new vista here to our understanding of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. That maybe Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is not to be subsumed under the formal structure of Chiyuv Talmud Torah, which was the parents we were working with until now. It might be some sort of broader mitzvah that the Chacham and Nevi'im established for the sake of benefiting Klal Yisrael, and even someone who's not technically obligated obtains a kiyum through that experience of hearing the Rita. But that's not going to answer my second question. Because my second question is about the formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which generates a chiyuv of bracha on a daily basis, and the Machaber includes the women. Women make that bracha. Why? They're not chayiv in Talmud Torah. So if you talk about Kriyas HaTorah, fine, you want to say it comes under a different category. It's a big chiddush, but you could say such a thing. I don't think if I suggested such a thing, if I Rebbe Shea, I don't think he would throw me out. You know, he might get very angry with me. You know, sometimes he could get rough in those days, you know, back in the day. I'm talking back in the 70s. Like one time I asked him a question about Chatas Yoledes. So he said, Berzon, don't ask any, just listen, I think you should just listen, don't ask any questions. He knew I wasn't in the least oriented in Chatas Yoledes. And I remember when I first came to the Shia, he was teaching Malika B'Chatas Ha'Of, Mechulun Daf Chafei. I didn't know what Malika was, I didn't know what a Karmachatas was, I didn't know what an Of looked like. Baruch Hashem, in those days it was a Chazor Shia, so the Chazor Shia saved me. I was So when I first came into the Shia, I didn't even understand the Rav's English. Yeah, he had words that had like 15 syllables in it, you know. And he had a German accent. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I came from Eretz Yisrael. I went to yeshivas there. I didn't know anything. I was lost. But then to jump into Malika Bechatis, oh, if I'm telling you, I deserved all the sympathy and empathy in the world. So perhaps, let's look. You gentlemen know what the Sefer Shi'urim L'Zecher Abba Mori is about?
Yeah.
Do you remember what date in the calendar year, by chance, the Rav used to give this one date in the year?
That's
the Yotze, right. The Yotze for his father. That was the third day of Shvat. And he used to give a four-hour shiur in Yiddish. And subsequently, it was published in Hebrew. I'm not 100% sure who wrote it. The word on the street is that the Rav wrote it. It's his own pen. Okay, let's leave it at that. I won't add any comment. Says the Rav in Chelik Beis, in the name of Rav Chaim, Ein Birchos HaTorah Tluyos Bechovas Gavra. That Birchos HaTorah is a unique bracha in the constellation of brachos. And it's not engendered by a Chovas Gavra. Ki im b'mase limud. Any limud itself engenders a chiv bracha, not because of the gavra. So in a sense, you're really, you know, in a sense, switching around the chicken for the egg. You know, it's usually you think the gavra engenders the bracha, and the bracha is recited on the maisa. Now we're saying, no, the maisa itself inherently engenders the bracha. He calls it the cheftza shel Talmud Torah. Now, if you have an entity of Talmud Torah, somebody's learning Torah, as long as that's a valid learning of Torah, I don't care whether the Gavra is implementing his obligation and fulfilling, discharging, and maintaining and obtaining his Kiyum HaMitzvah. And therefore, a woman, despite the fact that she does not have a Chovas Gavra, she has what? A Chavtza Shel Torah. And therefore she can make a Bruch.
So,
say it again?
A child also,
man. A child, perhaps.
A child,
right.
A slave, a non-Jew, anybody.
Well, we discussed the child, if you remember, a few weeks back, there was a discussion about whether or not a child creates a Chavtza Shel Torah. We tried to push very heavily in favor of that. It might depend on the age level of the child. I don't know if a three-year-old has a Chavtza Shel Torah, I'm not sure. But a woman, for sure, can generate a Chavtza Shel Torah. I'll give you an example. Would a woman be allowed to study Torah in a bathhouse? Right, we have a separate Isur, which we'll see in the Rabban Hilchos Tefillah, that you can't learn Torah, you can't daven in a bathhouse. Would that apply to a woman? What's your gut feeling about that?
It depends if it's perhaps a
Torah. No, I'm saying, according to what's... Yeah, I'm just trying to evoke an intuitive feeling, you know, a knee-jerk response. You know, a man is chayv in Talmud Torah, he can't learn Torah in the bathroom. But a woman is not obligated in Talmud Torah, so she's going to study Torah in the bathroom. Does that make sense to you? No, I'm just saying, let's say she made the bracha in the morning, you know, but now she wants to study Torah in the bathhouse.
But
in the
bathroom. Any, and you say, I think it's not only Talmud Torah that you can't do in the bathroom, you're saying you can't even make a bracha in the bathroom. So you should definitely not be able to learn in the bathroom.
Again, why? What's the underlying premise here? That the Iser of learning Torah in the bathroom does not reflect the Chovas Gavra, but rather reflects the Maisa Liman and the Chavtza Shel Torah. Just like a woman makes a bracha on Talmud Torah because she generates a Chavtza Shel Torah, she has a Maisa Liman, even though there's no Chovas Gavra, so too to dramatize this and bring the point home, she could not study Torah in a bathroom or a bathhouse because she's bringing something that's holy, a Chavtza Shel Talmud Torah, into the bathhouse. Clear?
Is there a differentiation between men and women in regards to...
Does anybody say that she is or is not able to learn in the bathroom?
I don't know. I didn't research it, but I would tell you, I'd be willing to sign an Easter Gomer. We'll put up a Pashkavil. You know what a Pashkavil is? You know, those white big signs, you know, with the black... print in Eretz Yisrael. I saw a bunch of them in Harnof when I was there last week. And I will gather together a group of Rabbanu of Pashka Villa. We heard a rumor that women are learning Torah in the bathhouse. This is terribly awesome, and I'm going to sign my name to it. Because a woman has a Chavtza Shel Torah. She makes a bracha on Talmud Torah. Then the Rav goes on and he says, "Yesh levayr yisod takonas kriyas haTorah b'tzivu she'ein takonas kriyas haTorah miyusedes al halacha shel shomei ke'oneh." Meaning, the mitzvah here is not a reflection of Chovas Gavra, because shomei ke'oneh requires a Chovas Gavra, right? If I recite a tefillah or bracha for you and I want to be motzi, it's because I share the same Chovas Gavra. So would a woman be allowed to make a bracha on shofar or on lulav on my behalf? The answer is no, because shomei ke'oneh could only reflect a chovas gavra. She doesn't share the chovas gavra. El din acher, but rather kriyas haTorah is not chovas gavra. It's not shomei ke'oneh. V'hu kiyum talmid Torah b'tzibur. The very fact that the tzibur engenders a cheftah shel Torah for the tzibur, that limud haTorah of the tzibur is a new entity that requires, that is a requirement that has to be created on a tri-weekly basis. The cheftah shel Torah is not specifically related, or doesn't have to be related, to Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Rak Dorish, all that we need, all that's required, is a cheftah shel kriya b'tzibur. V'yimu miskayim, and if you've generated this cheftah shel kriya b'tzibur, then hatzibur yotze yidei chovaso. So let me ask you a question, Rav Osai. And again, I'm asking for a knee-jerk response. This case actually came up. The korei b'torah has an enemy who's sitting in the audience. And he makes a declaration, I'm not being motzi him. I'm excluding him from my kriya. And this gentleman sitting in the audience comes over to the Rav, and you're the Rav, and he says to you, Rebbe, can I be otzi kriya at Torah b'tzibur when this korei is telling me that he doesn't want to be motzi me?
So according to this, he would be, but he might not be otzi in the bracha though. Because the bracha he saw is to be... Meaning the Kiyum Talmud Torah, the Kiyum Kriyas Torah is fine, but the bracha itself, he might have to make his own bracha on that.
It's a fascinating idea. I would think that the bracha, like the kriya, is just part and parcel of this package.
But we don't see the brachos, as Ben was saying. This is still a chesh within the Maisa of Talmud Torah, but in terms of brachos, we have a pretty clear.
But that's what I'm saying, that the bracha on Talmud Torah is the bracha on Kriya Satorah B'tzibur. The Kriya itself, as an entity, requires a bracha. Even a woman can make that bracha. Why is a woman making the bracha? Again, we're coming full swing around to answer the question of Turi Evan. Why is a woman making the bracha? Not only that, I'm Yotze through her bracha. I mean, isn't that Shomei Ka'ona? Which means that she shares the same Chovas Gavra that I do, and in effect, when it comes to Talmud Torah, she does not share the same Chovas Gavra as I do. But the answer is that the bracha on Torah, and the bracha, and the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is not a Chovas Gavra halacha, but rather results from the obligation to create this entity, this chefza, which we call of kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. Imu miskayim, if we succeeded in creating this entity, hatzibur yotzi de chovaso. Every member of the tzibur could, so to speak, dip their hands into the plate of the chefza shel kriyas haTorah to connect to the chefza that was created, called the chefza shel kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. And can be yotzi l'fichach. Ein chovas gavra o p'turo chashuvim. We don't care about the obligation that may or may not be incumbent upon the individual. El akol toli bi atzma shel ha'pu'ula. Im notzar chefza shel kriyas haTorah, hatzibur yotze. Vafilu makore lo ayachai b'mitzvizu. Lachem isha ol lebi yinshiva, mishum sha'af al gavshi p'tura b'mitzvizu talmud Torah, mikol kom limuda v'kriyasa mahava chalos shem Torah. And this quote from Reb Chaim appears in a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, the Emek Bracha, Rabbi Aryeh Pomeranchik. In the name of Reb Chaim, he writes that Birchas HaTorah Eina Mitzvahs Talmud Torah. The bracha on the Torah is not on the mitzvah, the obligation to learn Torah, Ela Al HaTorah Gufa, on the Torah itself. The Torah Tzricha Bracha. Torah needs a bracha. It's almost like the bracha is inherent It's engendered by the Torah itself. V'zeu di alfinon mi ki sheim Hashem ekra. When the Torah is studied or read, havu go to little time, we have to recite a bracha. The Torah tzricha bracha. So let's just summarize how this yesod of Reb Chaim will answer our original two questions. Question number one, how's a woman ol minyan shiva and she makes a bracha when she's not obligated in Talmud Torah? The answer is, even though she's not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as far as Chofetz Gavra, she's Petura, but nevertheless, what does she have the capacity to do? To create a Chofetz Shel Torah. If she can create a Chofetz Shel Torah, then she's ol minyan shiva, she can even make a bracha on that Torah itself.
That part, I don't understand fully, though. I mean, I understand that, I would have thought that if a woman learns Torah, I shouldn't make a bracha on that Torah, because it's not a Chofetz Shel Torah, but we proved that it could still be a Chofetz Shel Torah, even if a woman is the one saying
it. So because her Torah is Torah, even though she's not obligated.
So I can make a bracha, Berachos Torah, on the Torah that she said. That I understand.
Well, she can make a bracha?
That's the part I don't really understand.
Why?
How could she make a bracha? Just because...
But the Torah needs a bracha.
So let the man make it.
There is no man. She wakes up in the morning.
She's in a minyan.
No, but I'm saying, let's say she wakes up in the morning. Before you get to me, let's go. Simple case. Rivka wakes up in the morning. Does she have to recite Berachos HaTorah? She's about to learn. Right? She goes to a very good mechala in Israel, very good seminary. And she wants to learn Torah. Should she make a bracha? The answer is yes. The Mechaber passes like that. Ribbono Shel Olam, you yourself, Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, agree that without a Chofetz Gavra, a woman can't make a bracha. Not on Lulav, and not on Sukkah, and not on Shofar, and on any of the mitzvah that's Zman Groma, that she's Peturus. How could she make a bracha on Talmud Torah? The answer is, the bracha is not engendered. It doesn't begin from the Gavra. You don't start the Chofetz bracha from the Gavra. It moves in the opposite direction. It starts from the Chofetz Shel Torah. The Chofetz Shel Torah, imagine if it could talk, would say, I need a bracha. You cannot create me, meaning a Chofetz Shel Torah, without affording me with a bracha. Torah and bracha are attached like a sandwich. They sandwich to each other. Therefore, if a woman wakes up in the morning, she's creating a Chofetz Shel Torah, she must make a bracha on that Chofetz Shel Torah.
So there's a lot of questions that I want to understand. I mean, we've always said in the past, we're going to classify Talmud Torah as a mitzvah sechah as my grandma?
No, chas v'shalom. It's only a derivation from b'anecha v'lo b'nosecha. And that's what we discussed.
So in terms of so we're saying, I understand the first question, but the second question in terms of Torah Yevim, bringing the Orach Chaim's down, the Siman of Zion, Siman to...
That's not the Torah Yevim, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry, I'm saying, but between those two Orach Chaim's, I mean, I don't understand the question so much.
Again, let's go over the question.
And it says,
so we explained, Sammy, I don't know if you were here, that you cannot say, if Hashem alleviated you from that mitzvah. That's the machaber that we saw that exempts women, and not only exempts women, precludes women from reciting a bracha on any mitzvah seishas man grom. True Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah seishas man grom. I haven't meant to imply that. But it has something basically in common with the mitzvah seishas man grom, namely that she's peturos. It matters not whether she's petura for reason X, Y, or Z. She cannot make the bracha. For example, when a woman marries a man, and there's a bracha shekichanu tosin tzivanu, etc., alarayos, it's a complicated bracha. The Rambam classifies it as a birchas mitzvah. Who's going to recite that bracha? He or she? He. And it could be mechabit the Masada Kiddushin. That doesn't bother me. Her ears are stumot. She's got earplugs in her ears. Does it bother me? I'm the Rav Masada Kiddushin. Should I tell the woman, take those earplugs out? I want you to hear the bracha. According to the mechaber, no point in telling her that. Why? She has no shaykhus to this mitzvah. So therefore, she has no bracha. Why doesn't she have shaykhus to this mitzvah, Rabosai?
She's potter.
Why? Is it Zman Groma? Is marriage Zman Groma?
Purim?
She's not Chayav Purim. Why? Because the Torah says, V'kishua, Darko Shul Ish Lichbosh, V'ein Darko Shul Ish. So there's a separate Gzeres HaKosel that alleviates women from this mitzvah. Therefore, the Mechaber's halacha would kick in. And the same logic should apply to Talmud Torah. And yet the Mechaber paskins that women have to make a bracha in Torah. So Reb Chaim came up with a radical idea, and he says the nature of this bracha is fundamentally different than every other bracha. The bracha is not engendered by Chofetz Gavra, but by the entity of Torah itself.
That case is different though. Because that case, according to the Rambam, as he says in his in the Kotar, that there's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah for a woman, mitzvah of the Kiddushin. No reason to say the woman are pater from it.
There is a Sefer Amakna who wants to say that women are obligated to get married. But everybody and their uncle pounces upon the Sefer Amakna. The assumption, and you'll have to trust me on this, if you want after this year we can go through the sources. I don't want to belabor the point. But the assumption that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of getting married is a very solid assumption. It's not flighty. I would say that 99 out of 100 poskim would agree that a woman does not have to get married according to Allah. We might encourage her to get married, and we certainly should. Otherwise, we're in deep trouble, right? Because who are you going to marry? You know what I'm saying? But women are not. Are we able to go on now? Let's go on, because we have a lot to cover today. The Yushalmi in Ksuvis adds another dimension to this whole discussion. Namely, Rav Zeira says, in the name of Rav Yirmiyahu, Ha'eved Ola Mishiva Krios. The Eved will be Ola to the Zion Kruim. And offhand, this statement of the Yushalmi Rav Zeira, who's called in the Bavli Rav Zeira, would be nonsensical without Reb Chaim. Why? What's the status of an Eved vis-a-vis the mitzvah, the chova of Talmud Torah? Does he have a chovas gavra? I don't know, I'm not sure why you guys are refusing to answer my questions. I guess maybe you're used to a different style of a shiur than I give. The style of shiur that I give, Rabbi Moshe, is that everybody answers my questions.
We've been trained by Rabbi Sachs.
I know. That's a problem here. That's going to be a little bit of a communication gap.
And yet, how are they really still depriving? You said that women can be all of that.
Right, but that's only after Reb Chaim's explanation. But let's say you didn't have Reb Chaim's explanation. What's the status of an Eved vis-a-vis the obligation of Talmud Torah? He's part of the opening line in the Rambam. Mm-hmm. How then can he be one of the Ola, and you're going to have to come back to Reb Chaim? Clear? Good. But here I have a question.
This is when he was an Eved himself? This is
not like that the Eved himself could get an Aliyah?
I mean, that's very strange, because...
Why?
The Gemara Brachos. When we did it in Shear, the Gemara Brachos Mem Zayin, it talks about the fact that they wanted a 10th person to lane.
Freedom.
I mean, this was
that's for a minion, Sammy. That's when Rebbe, I think, was Meshacher is Tevi Abdo. So that's not referring to Kriyas HaTorah. The source for an Eved vis-a-vis Kriyas HaTorah is this Yerushalmi. You won't find it in Bavli. Trust me on that. The question, though, that I want to raise with you is, even though the Bavli paskins that a woman is old Shiva,
it doesn't.
In halacha, it says that's only b'di'evid. L'chatchil, we don't allow a woman to get an aliyah because of kavodat tzibur. My question to you is, what about an evid?
Isn't kavodat tzibur relative to the tzibur, though?
Good, but I'm asking, in those tziburim where a woman doesn't get an aliyah, which today and our day, again, I'm not going into the various domination, deviation in groups, but for an Orthodox minion, women do not get an aliyah. Agreed? That goes to Kavanah Tzibur. Would they call up an Eved?
It depends if it's an issue of Kavanah Tzibur or not. If they would find it offensive, then they wouldn't.
But what's your gut reaction? Would you think that the problem of Kavanah Tzibur should apply to an Eved or not? An Eved is not a woman. The Ramah's language would indicate, I think, that we're back to the same problem of Kavanah Tzibur, because look at the language of the Ramah. He writes, V'din Eved Knani K'din Ha'isha. On that Yerushalmi, he writes, La'halacha, that the Eved is the same as an Isha. What does that mean? That you can call him up to an aliyah, but is it preferable? Is it recommended? And what's the answer?
Yeah.
It seems not, because he equates it to Isha. And the one who makes this point and is bothered by this point is Rav Yaakov Emden. You heard of Rav Yaakov Emden? And in his Hagos, in Masechet Ksuvos, which are published in the back of the Masechet, he writes, Mistavro, I would have said if not for the Rambah, I mean, I'm adding, Berzon's adding, if not for the Rambah, the Eved Adif mi Isha. Let's not equate an Eved with an Isha. The Dafka be Isha Iko Mishum Kavarat Tzibur L'chatchila, that L'chatchila we should refrain from calling up a woman for an Aliyah because of Kavarat Tzibur. Masha Enkein Eved. In other words, he's basically making it a structure that it depends upon gender. A female, that's a problem of Kavod HaTzibur. A male is not a problem of Kavod HaTzibur. Okay. So far, so good? All right, let's go on. I want to talk to you about the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Now look at the Rambam's language in Hilcha Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Alokhal. Mitzvah saseh, I'll call Ish v'ish v'yisrael lichtov sefer Torah liatzma. What does that sound like?
Just mean each individual. It doesn't necessarily mean.
Well, usually the word ish in the Rambam is the exclusion of isha.
What would his alternative be? Meaning he wanted to say ish v'ish.
He could have said mitzvah saseh el kol yisrael lichtov sefer Torah.
But he had that extra ish v'ish, which obviously is there to teach you something. So.
Oh, that's a good point. So, I wasn't even addressing that point. Right, maybe ish v'ish tells you whether he's poor, whether he's rich, right, something along that line.
How would Rebbe phrase it without being gender specific, right?
I'm saying without being and include even the poor people? I'll call Echad mi Yisrael. In any event, the Beis HaLevi is wondering about this. He says, why are women exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? It's not as Magrama mitzvah. And the only answer he can suggest is because women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So now the mitzvah of Talmud Torah takes on a whole new spin-off. In addition to the fact that a woman is not obligated to learn Torah, she's not obligated in a different mitzvah in Taryag, namely Ksiva Sefer Torah and the Chinuch. Way before the Beis HaLevi writes this in Mitzvah Tov Resh Gimel, Resh Yud Gimel, which is the last of the Taryag. So Shagas Aryeh says, I don't understand. Women are exempt from learning those mitzvahs that don't apply to them, but they are definitely obligated in Talmud Torah to learn that part of Torah which is relevant to them. In other words, let's say a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush, right? Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. So a woman would have to learn the laws of Kiddush, just like a man does. And therefore he says, I don't understand. Is a man obligated to study all of the Torah?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you're a step ahead of me, but the Shagas Aryeh thinks not. Shagas Aryeh thinks that if you're Yisrael,
you don't have to study Karmelos. So.
You don't have to study the laws of the Kohen. And again, we're gonna fight this out in a minute. You know, this is gonna be the Beis HaLevi is gonna get ballistic over this Shagas Aryeh. But the Shagas Aryeh assumes that both in the case of a male and the case of a female, the amount of Torah you have to learn is relative. Yeah, because you have to learn those halachas, those mitzvahs that are no heges bacha. It's a question of quantity, not quality. So a woman might have to learn less than a man, but a man has to learn, if he's Yisrael, less than a Kohen. And at the end of the day, women, no less than men, are obligated to learn Torah. And therefore, he doesn't understand why a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah.
Why doesn't he ask her when the Rambam says that women are projects of Torah?
It was according to Shagas Aryeh, the original statement of the Rambam doesn't read well. The Rambam writes that Noshim, etc., Pturim Talmud Torah, that's not accurate according to Shagas Aryeh. So what, if you can cover the next line, what do you anticipate the Beis HaLevi is going to say?
There's two different types of Talmud Torah. There's Talmud Torah La'alacha and Talmud Torah besides for that, just figuring out what the Torah says.
I hear what you say, Menachem, but the Beis HaLevi is going to make an absolute cut. You know, he's not going to say there are two types of Talmud Torah. Anybody? Again, you can read it in yourself, but it's more fun if you come up with it on your own. What would be the most extreme position, not like the Shagas Aryeh's position, with regard to women in Talmud Torah.
But they're not chayav at all.
At all, period. Not in any category of Talmud Torah. But yet they have to learn their dinim.
That's not a kiyum in Talmud Torah. That's just the fact that's a kiyum in the mitzvah that they have to do.
Excellent. That's the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says that mitzvah's ksiva sefer Torah depends upon the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Men are chayav in the mitzvah Talmud Torah, and that includes kol haTorah kula. If you're Israel, you're no less obligated to study the laws of Kohanim than a Kohen is obligated. So there's an absolute all-inclusive chiyuv of Talmud Torah to women, and there's an absolute all-inclusive exemption with regard to women. Noshim peturis mi mitzvahs Talmud Torah legamre, completely, says the Beis Halevi. Af mi limud ha-mitzvahs ha-no-agosko. So when you read the pasuk v'shinatam levonech of limadetem osam, even with regard to kiddush, a woman is excluded. B'neichem v'lo b'nosecha. He says the lek legabe mitzvos elu chovas limud b'toras mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Isn't this a beautiful part? I was so excited about this Beis Halevi, because to me this is what brisket Torah is all about. He says if you want to be conceptual and categorical about it, and you want to divide everything in classifications, then women have no mitzvah of limud, even for the mitzvahs nogoskim, v'toras Talmud Torah. It's not to be subsumed under the category of Talmud Torah. Ella, but rather, they have to learn those mitzvos for a different reason. As an introduction, he calls it, which I would use a different term. Anybody have in mind, you know, can guess what I have in mind? What term he calls an introduction to the asiyas ha-mitzvah. You know, he's looking at it as a Haggadah Shel Pesach. What do I mean, Haggadah Shel Pesach? You know, it says in the instructions, here you pick up the cup, here you cover the matzahs, here you lean, and so, you know what I'm saying? It's an instruction book, how to do it book. That's how the Beis Halevi understands a woman's obligation. You know, give her a handbook, how to recite Kiddush and fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. That's when you need a handbook. He calls it a Hakdama. It's a mechanical, technical act. I would have given it a little bit more. What word? Hachana. Hachana, another word? Hechsher mitzvah. Did you ever hear the phrase Hechsher mitzvah? That's a very helpful word. Hechsher mitzvah, according to some, are part and parcel of the mitzvah. And I'll give you an example. The Rosh Avraham says that you should be baking your own matzahs. Do you know anybody who bakes their own matzahs?
Building a sukkah, you might be able to make the bracha while building.
Excellent. What do you say?
We did this academic shayla, says that.
Didn't Siv has something called Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'Torah? He, you know, it's the Torah itself. It says Shivas Yom Tasu Sukkah. It says Tasu Lechem Sukkah. So he says the Tasu gives you an extra kind of Hechsher Mitzvah. But be that as it may, the Magen Avraham writes, and there's nowhere in the Torah, as far as I remember, that it says to bake matzahs, that you should be baking your own matzahs. Why? Because Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucha. So I had a kash on the Magen Avraham. Mitzvah bo yosef mishluch applies to a mitzvah. But there's no mitzvah of baking matzahs. What do you see from this Magen Avraham? I think at first glance, maybe you can slug me up. That even a hechsher mitzvah is part of a mitzvah. It has a status. And which halacha kicks in? Mitzvah bo yosef mishluch. I was always wondering, a menorah on Chanukah. Here we're less than a week away from Chanukah, right? So the Ravid is of the opinion that you need a menorah for Chanukah. Meaning, if I have a wax candle, l'dugma, I can't just put it down on the table, you know, melt down the table and light it in the yotzi. You need a menorah. Radical sheet of the Reifid. Everyone else and their uncle thought that there's no din of menorah. And yet, people spend what we call in Ivrit, home to our fault on menorahs. May not be in you, but in certain neighborhoods, which I won't go into, they'll spend tens of thousands of dollars on a silver menorah. I don't know if you've seen it. And again, Baruch Hashem, they can afford it. I'm not. I just hope they keep it on the lock and key, because these things, Nebuch, if you have a gzela like we had in Har Nov, it's very depressing when you lose things of that value. Not that we owned this, but we had an heirloom, you know, that was taken, but. Why did they spend so much money? I was wondering. Again, if you want to say they're just keeping up with the Joneses and be cynical about it, that's fine. So I thought that maybe the menorah could be classified as a hechsher mitzvah. insofar as it holds the candle or the ner or the shemen, maybe it could be classified as a hechsher mitzvah.
Object or the buying?
Yeah.
The buying, if you go to the store buying the menorah, that might be hechsher mitzvah. The object, the I don't know.
You would put the object in the mitzvah lower than buying it?
I don't know whether an object can be a hechsher mitzvah. I thought hechsher is something that you do. It's an action of myself.
No, lav dafka. Hechsher mitzvah would be anything that aids in facilitating the mitzvah. That would be called hechsher.
So according to that one sheet, and then according to every other sheet, you don't need a menorah, in which case it's irrelevant.
No, that's my point. That according to the Ravid, a menorah is a cheftishol mitzvah because you cannot fulfill the mitzvah without it. It's like, what shall I say, spending a lot of money on a nice talis, on a nice pair of tefillin. That's a cheftishol mitzvah. I have no qualms about it.
There's kedusha in the menorah, according to the Ravid. As in, like, there's a
while, according to the Ravid, while the candles are burning, that becomes part of the cheftishol mitzvah. It's not called kedusha. I would call it Bizui mitzvah, generates an Easter Bizui mitzvah. Just like, for example, Rabosa, if I'm wearing a talis, am I allowed to use the tzitzis of the talis to clean my teeth if I got something stuck in between my teeth? That's called Bizui mitzvah. Even though a talis is a cheftishol mitzvah, not a cheftishol kedusha, it's not tashmishi kedusha. So I would say, according to the Ravid, as long as I'm using the menorah, right, the Gemara says, "Ein madlikin miner l'ner." You can't take a ner chanukah and use the ner itself to light a different candle because it's bizui mitzvah. So, but again, let's leave out the Ravid. The Ravid is a radical chiddush. You won't find a zecher to this Ravid anywhere. In fact, the Ravid was in Ksav Yad. It was in a manuscript form for 1,000 years. It was published recently by an organization called Moriah, if you're familiar with them, and they published it in what's called a Sefer HaZikaron in memory of one of the Gdol. So they found the Ksav Yad of the Ravid, in which he says that the menorah itself is part of the mitzvah. But my point, Menachem, was that even if we assume, like everyone else assumes, that the menorah at best is just a hechsher mitzvah, maybe I would still apply Zeke Levi'am Ve'yu to the menorah insofar as it facilitates my mitzvah. So that anything that I do to facilitate a mitzvah should also be beautiful. You know, there would be a thousand questions that could come up, for example, in terms of a synagogue. What is the cheftishol mitzvah of a synagogue? And do we expand beyond the cheftishol mitzvah in order to beautify it? Let's just finish up with the Beis Yosef. And maybe I'll give you an introduction to the Divrei Rio if we have time. The Beis Yosef says, in the name of the Smag, that the reason why women make a bracha on Torah learning, which is on a daily basis, is mishum dechayavos lilmo dinehem shel oson mitzvos shemchuyavos behem. What do we see for the Beis Yosef from the Smag?
Yes, it is a key term.
Exactly. So I would put it like this: if we were making a scorecard, so to speak, I would put the Shagasaria and the Beis Yosef in the name of the Smag on one side of the scale, and put the Beis HaLevi on the other side of the scale. And Lamaisa is a tremendous nafkamina between the two. When a woman learns the halachas of that particular mitzvah, or any particular, that she is obligated in, is she involved in Talmud Torah? From the fact that Beis Yosef says she makes a bracha on it, what do you see? It's Talmud Torah. But the Beis HaLevi says, nay, that's not Talmud Torah. She's exempt from Talmud Torah. It may be a hechsher mitzvah, dover to a mitzvah, whatever that mitzvah is that women are obligated, but it's not Talmud Torah. But it's fascinating to see that the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Smag, is really taking the approach of the Shagas Aryeh. And if that be the case, Rabbi Yosef, what question should we hurl in the direction of the Beis Yosef?
Same thing, and Shagas Aryeh, this whole sugya, this whole everything. Because according to...
Well, I don't know what sugya mean. I'm looking for three words.
Three words.
Can you name the sugya, the baby, by three words? Sivas, Sefer, Torah. That was the Shagas Aryeh's problem. Why do you exempt a woman from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? So you can tell them because she's not obligated in what? In Talmud Torah. But you're telling me now that she is obligated in Talmud Torah. And how do I see from the Beis Yosef that she is obligated in Talmud Torah?
She makes
a bracha on it. According to Beis HaLevi, she has no justification making a bracha on it. You're going to have to use the Reb Chaim that there's a din of bracha here that's unique insofar as the cheftishol Talmud Torah requires a bracha. It has nothing to do with any bracha which evolves from the Chofetz Chaim. But according to the Beis Yosef, the name of the Smag at least, This bracha, like any other bracha, classically, is a result of a chovas kavri. So you'll ask me, but a woman doesn't have a chovas kavri in Talmud Torah. The answer is she does. And now Menachem is going to get up yelling and screaming and say, but the Rambam says, no, she paturis me Talmud Torah. He doesn't make any ifs, ands, or buts. Unqualified statement. The truth is, Lefiani Yisdaiti, the research and the proofs here are heavily weighed in for the Beis HaLevi. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi's great-grandson. I'm just saying that if you look at the facts on the ground, number one, the fact that the Rambam omitted any footnote in Hilchas Talmud Torah that a woman has to learn the mitzvahs that she's obligated in. B, look at the sugya itself in Masechta Kedushin that says B'neichem v'lo b'noseichem, which seems to be an absolute unqualified patur of women from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Correct? I'll be there in 2 minutes. Sorry. And C, look at the fact that if there's any logic to obligate a woman in the mitzvah of studying in the study of those dinim, of those mitzvahs that know those bisho, that's not Talmud Torah. The basis for that is the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself cannot be facilitated without studying the dinim. Beis HaLevi is really right. But just in one word, just try to answer, to defend the position of the Beis HaLevi with regard to Kesiva Sefer Torah. Perhaps we could say, Menachem, maybe you were indicating this before, there are two types of mitzvahs of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah which is all-encompassing and is totally totally irrelevant to practical mitzvahs. Has nothing to do with implementing mitzvahs. I, as Yisrael, have to learn the dinim of Kohanim no less than a Kohen has to learn them. And I have to learn Kodshim and Taras and Zroim no less than it was at the time of the Mikdash. That mitzvah is not incumbent upon an Isha. Ksiva Sefer Torah is a spin-off of the broader mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the all-encompassing umbrella mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Women, insofar as that their chelik in Talmud Torah is not the all-encompassing, overarching mitzvah of let's know Kol HaTorah Kula, of the conceptual understanding of Talmud Torah, in that regard, women are not included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore, they are exempt from the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. Men have the all-encompassing mitzvah. They're obligated to receive the Sefer Torah. Women have a chelik in Talmud Torah. Enough to make a bracha according to Beis Yosef. And he insists in the name of the Sfad, it's because it's a result of the fact they have to know these mitzvahs. They have to know the dinim. But it's not the full-fledged, theoretical, conceptual Talmud Torah that's makif kol Torah kula. And that's the Talmud Torah that you need for the mitzvah of Kesivas Sefer Torah. Okay, Rabbosa, we didn't get to the Dibri Yemiyo, but Bli Neder, I want to talk to you about him. He was really brilliant. He was great. Okay.